Before we look in the Word this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Talk to Him a minute, okay? Father, You tell us to be still and to know that You're a God. I thank You for this Sunday, this Sabbath, this day of rest, so we can break from the routines of life and we can come here together to worship You and to quieten our hearts before You and be reminded of who You are, reminded of all that You've done for us in Christ, and be reminded of who we are now in Christ. Father, we confess that You are the sovereign King of the universe, that You are the ruler, heaven and earth. Lord, You're the one that works all things after the counsel of Your will. We know that everything that takes place in our lives, Lord, is ordained by You. And Lord, for those who know You and are called according to Your purpose, You promise that You would use it for good. Lord, what an encouragement that is. What a comfort to know that even the hard times that we go through, Lord, those are times that You're using to develop us, develop our character, to make us more like Jesus. Lord, thank You for the spirit of adoption that You've given to us so that we can cry out to You, Abba, Father. Lord, You are our Father, our Heavenly Father. You love us. You care for us. Lord, You've begun the good work in us and You promised You would bring it to completion in the day of Christ. And we're so grateful for that. Now, Father, as we come to You today, Lord, we come to You as needy folks. We come to You as those who are completely dependent upon You. Even as Your Word tells us, apart from You, we can do nothing. But Lord, I pray that You would meet each person here where they are struggling, where they feel their weakness. Lord, I thank You that Your power is perfected in our weakness. Lord, You know the trials that we're going through, the temptations that we face, the hurts and pains that we experience. Lord, I pray that You would draw near to us, each person. And Lord, You would remind us that You are the great I Am. You are all that we need. And Lord, You will take care of us. You will walk with us through whatever circumstances we're going through. And Lord, You will use these things for good. We're so grateful for that. Father, I pray for those who are struggling physically, that You would bless, that You would bring healing to them. Father, I want to pray specifically for Dakota Anderson as she has her tonsils out this coming Tuesday. I pray, Father, that You would be with her as she goes into this surgery, that You would give her real peace. Lord, that You would just remind her that You are with her. And we pray that everything would go well and that You would give her a speedy recovery. Lord, thank You so much for Your great faithfulness to us. And Lord, thank You for Your Word that You've given to us. Lord, that reveals truth to us. It's by Your Word that we know You and we know Your will for us. So I pray, Father, as we look at Your Word this morning, that You would bless it to our understanding. I pray that You would enable us by Your Spirit to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And so may the words of my mouth now and the meditations of our hearts and be pleasing and acceptable to You. And we pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, for those who are new with us, we've been making our way through 1 Peter. And last week, we were looking at God's blueprint for marriage and focused then on the role of the wife. The role of the wife in the marriage relationship. And we saw that the role was pretty simple. Is wives, submit to your husbands. And that simply means that the wife is to bend her will to that of the husband, even to obey That word in the Greek can be translated obey. And now it doesn't mean that wife has no say in anything, her opinions don't count, and so forth. It simply means that the husband and wife can't come to an agreement on a particular issue, then the husband would have the last word. And the husband would be the one to make the decision. Now, I realize that there are a number of women who really don't like that teaching and who sort of react strongly to it. And in fact, as I mentioned last week, one lady called this a toxic theology that has really given rise to this surge in domestic violence. But that's really not the case. It's really not the case, and I think you'll see this as we continue today. Of course, men love this particular topic, and men feel like this is what's wrong with the world today. Women just aren't submitting. And if women would do their duty before the Lord, then everything would be better. There'd be more peace and harmony in the home, and there would be less drama, fewer fights, strife, and so forth, and the world would just be fewer divorces as a result, too. Men love to point the finger at women and love to say, the reason the marriage is not as fulfilling, the reason we're having so many struggles because of this and this, and we point the finger at them. And the reality is this. There is a reality that men can't see or don't see or don't want to see. And the reality is this, that if the marriage is not what it needs to be, if the marriage is not fulfilling, then the problem is not your wife. The problem is you and your leadership. It's you and your leadership. You see, the reality is this. Rather than pointing at all the weaknesses of the wives and saying, she does this and does that and doesn't do this and so forth, we need to realize that marriages fail because of failed leadership in the home. It's failed leadership in the home. You know, the Bible makes it clear in Ephesians 5 that the husband is the head of the wife. Now, you see this in Ephesians 5, 22, 23. It says, wives, subject yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. So the husbands are the head. And men typically love that thought that they're the head. They're the boss. They're the, you know, chief honcho and so forth. They're the leader in the home. But I found that a lot of times today, men do not understand what leadership is all about. And not just leadership, but spiritual leadership. It's not a matter of just barking out orders and saying, this is what you need to do, and do this and do that. I like the way John Piper defines spiritual leadership. It is knowing where God wants people to be and taking the initiative to use God's methods to get them there in reliance on God's power. Knowing where God wants people to be. Henry Blackaby talked about it in this way. The spiritual leader's task is to move people from where they are to where God wants them to be. What we're saying is this. Spiritual leadership is transformative. If you're leading properly, those that you're leading will be transformed. They will change. A lot of times we overlook the verse in Ephesians 5. We catch the first part of that. But look at it. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. We're to be heads of homes, as Christ is the head of the church. But look what is happening is in Christ's headship over the church. The spots and wrinkles in the church are being dealt with. There is a purification taking place. There is a transformation take place so that the church is becoming holy and blameless. And so I would suggest to you today that if in fact we're leading our wives in the manner that God has called us to lead, they too will become more and more beautiful. In fact, I remember years ago hearing a message by Howard Hendricks, who is professor of practical theology at Dallas Seminary years ago. He said this as he addressed these seminarians. He said, "Men, if your wife was not beautiful when you married her, that's her fault. But if she's not beautiful after being married to you for 20 years, it's your fault." That's what this is all about. And so what we have to do is take responsibility for what's happening in the home. And I find that so often today, men simply want to whine and complain about what's going on in the home rather than stepping up to the plate and saying, "I'm not doing too good a job. I need to do better." Now, Scripture tells us, even in Ephesians here, we're to love our wives. It says that we're to nurture and cherish them and so forth. The passage, the verse we're going to look at today in Peter, kind of gives us a little more information about what is involved in that. That's what we're going to talk about. How do we become the spiritual leaders in the home that God wants us to be? Look with me at 1 Peter 3:7 there. It says, "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." Well, what is the role of the husband? We'll talk about what it is, and it simply says this: live with your wives in an understanding way. Now, literally, if you look at the Greek, it says, live with your wives according to knowledge. According to knowledge. And I know there'd be some men and say, "Listen, men have been trying to figure out women out for years, and they've not done it yet. And obviously, we're wired differently. We think a little bit differently," and so forth. And it's not saying we have to figure them out. It's just saying that we need to understand what is important to them and make adjustments in our behavior. It was sort of like if you were to go as a missionary to a foreign country, do some cross-cultural evangelism, one of the first things you'd want to do is get to know the culture. You would get to know the people and find out what's important to them and how they do things and so forth, knowing that if you're going to reach them, you're going to have to identify with them somewhat. You may not like everything they do. I remember when I was in Japan a number of years ago on a mission trip and visiting some of our missionaries. They had a custom there that I really didn't like. And that was every time I went in, I had to take my shoes off. You know, it was sort of aggravating, you know, if you have lace shoes. But you do it because that's their culture. Well, I think that's what he's saying. He's saying this: we need to understand our wives. We need to understand how they're thinking or what's important to them. We need to make some adjustments in our behavior. This is leadership. This is leadership. Leadership is not, again, just barking out orders and saying, "Follow me because I am the head." Leadership is really getting to know folks. It's ministering to them, reaching out to them, identifying with them so that they want to follow you. They want to follow you. It's not a matter of coerced leadership here, coerced following. Listen, if your wife doesn't want to follow you, you have to look inwardly and say, "Why? Why? What is the problem there? What am I doing wrong?" And we have to examine ourselves at that point. It's not simply that they're being rebellious and so forth. It's that perhaps there's a failure in our leadership style. Well, he gives a reason for this. He says, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman. Now, that's not a slight on women. It's not, you know, because Peter's chauvinistic and saying she's weaker and this and that. It doesn't mean she's mentally weaker and so forth. In fact, I like the word delicate there. There's a delicate there. I was just thinking about, you know, when we got married, we got these beautiful crystal goblets that we've used maybe three or four times in 45 years. But they're real delicate, and you don't treat them like our everyday glasses. I mean, you handle them with care. You wash them differently and so forth because they're weaker. They're fragile. I think that's what Scripture is saying here. I said, our wives are fragile. They're delicate. They're delicate. They need to be handled with care. We don't need to treat them like just another guy and so forth. And they are vulnerable. We need to protect them. I think the man is to be the protector, not just physically, because we can do that. You know, there's no problem any man say, yeah, I'll protect my wife from physical harm. But we need to protect them emotionally as well. And give them that emotional safety there. There's a man that's written a number of books on family and marriage and so forth, and his name's skipping my mind right now. But anyway, he interviewed 1,000 couples and asked them, what is emotional safety to you? And these are some of the answers he got. These are some of the things that women want. To be accepted for who I am. It's not comparing them with other folks and saying, why can't you be more like this? It's saying, accept you for who you are. Secondly, feeling respected. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. Thirdly, being fully understood. By the way, if you're going to live with your wives in an understanding way according to knowledge, one of the ways you get that knowledge, well, there are several ways. One, you got to observe them. Secondly, you got to talk with them, and you got to listen to them. You got to listen to them. A lot of times we don't try to get understanding simply because we jump to conclusions and we don't really want to understand. But that's what we're going to have to do, to fully understand them. Fourthly, being free to express who I really am. Women want that. Free to express who they are. Being valued and honored. Six, having my flaws accepted as part of the whole package. Listen, there are no perfect wives and there are no perfect husbands. We're all in a process. But God is using the marriage relationship to refine both of us. And God is going to work through the husband to refine the wife. And again, so as to help her become everything that God wants her to be. That's part of it. So we can sit back and focus on the flaws, or we can say, how can I help my wife get where she needs to be? God, how do you want to use me in this process? And then seven, living in an atmosphere of open communication. Living in an atmosphere of open communication, having this dialogue, talking, listening, and then lastly, knowing that my spouse is trustworthy. Women want to feel safe emotionally. They want to know that their husband is going to be there for better or worse, to death do we part. And I think there's a lot of insecurity in our day simply because of all the divorces that have been going on. And I think it's easy for women to, you know, just begin to question, is my husband going to love me even as I grow older and some of the beauty fades and the wrinkles come and this and that? How do we create that emotional safety net for them? How do we protect them in that way? She's fragile. She's a woman. She's delicate. We need to treat her with real care and caution there. Someone said, a woman will feel emotionally safe with a man who is emotionally available, honest, trustworthy, and authentic. Well, how do we go about doing this? Look what he says here. And show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. Now, the NIV says, treat her with respect. You know what we do. We show honor to folks. We show honor to those who've been on the battlefield and they've come back, and soldiers, and they've served their country, and we honor them. We respect them. If you watch any of the Olympics, you know that's what we do. We elevate folks that have done well, receiving the gold, silver, bronze medals. We put them on a pedestal there. That's what we're doing when we honor folks. And I think it's important to understand, when it says show them honor, it's not just saying, okay, Mother's Day, show them honor, or their birthday or anniversary, show them honor. The Greek here is present tense, which means it's continuous action. It's not a once or twice or three times a year. It's continuous. How do we show them honor? On a daily basis. On a daily basis. How do we show them that respect? How do we elevate them? And how do we go about doing that? Show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. Let me talk about a few ways that we can show honor. And I'm sure you could probably add a number of other things to this. First of all, express appreciation. Everyone likes to be appreciated for what they do, don't they? But so often it's easy to take folks for granted. It's easy for men, us men, to take our wives for granted. All that they do for us, all they do in keeping the home going and cooking and cleaning and laundry and this and that and so many other things. They need to hear, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you do on a regular basis. Secondly, praise her. Praise her. You know, that's a word that lifetime. We in the Christian community are not real good at that. I mean, even in our worship, in our prayer life, talk about let's praise God. Praise the name of the Lord our God. And we think, what does that really mean? So often if you have a group of folks and said a small prayer group and say, let's just praise the Lord. The first thing that will come out of a person's mouth, Lord, I thank you for this and that. Thanking is a little different from praising. It's a little different. Praising is just extolling the worth of a person, focusing on who they are, their character, and celebrating who they are. Look at what Proverbs 31 says. An excellent wife, who can find her? For her worth is far above jewels. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband's also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. That's praise. That's praise. And it's basically, again, just, it's not flattery. It's not going overboard. It's not being insincere in the praise. It's not praising so you manipulate and get something out of it. It's simply focusing on them as a jewel and saying, you're amazing. Your character. How I'm blessed by that. That's what praise is. Think about it, husbands. Think about whether or not you praise your wife. You want others to know how wonderful your wife is. And so you're just extolling her and celebrating her character, all that she is, and all that she's done. Thirdly, serve her. Philippians tells us this. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility consider one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. It's serving. It's serving. I think too often men have this mindset that the wife is there to serve them. Leadership is not a matter of lording it over folks. Jesus made it clear that our leadership is servant leadership. It's serving. And it's understanding again, going back to this whole idea of understanding them, what their needs are, how can we help them? I tell you what, you begin thinking like this, and guess what? Women aren't going to have any problem with submission at that point. It's not going to be a problem. You know, you hear the first part of that, and they submit to husbands, and again, as people jump to this whole conclusion that, you know, the woman is just a doormat and so forth, you're seeing something different here. A woman is not a doormat. And in Scripture, the woman is being elevated and put on a pedestal and honored. She is being treated as a queen. Fourthly, make her a priority. Women want to know that they're important to their husbands, that they are a priority. And that the husbands, man, they're going to make time to be with them. I mean, you think about it in the courtship phase and dating and so forth, how that becomes a priority. You want to be with them. You want to talk with them. You just want to spend time with them. But so often, after you've been married for a period of time, it's not so much a priority. You know, it's easy for two people to just sort of live their lives independently and so forth. And women want to know that they're still a priority to their husbands there. And then finally, supporting her in her role as mother for those who have children that are still at home. I really believe motherhood is the hardest job on the planet. And it's tough and it's grueling. And a lot of times the men are going out in the community, in the workplace and so forth. And I know a lot of women are too as well. But as the kids get older, sometimes it really becomes tough. It becomes tough for the women because the kids are kicking, you know, rebelling against authority and so forth. Supporting her in a role as a mother is basically coming to your kids and saying, you will honor, you will respect, you will obey your mother. And you make sure that your children do that. I've seen too many women just fragile. They're just screaming, in a sense, inwardly, because they're just constantly fighting their kids. And the husband's not doing anything, stepping in. The husband is responsible to see to it that the kids obey the mother. And we support her and her role there. Well, again, you look at these things, and what we're saying is, women are so important. Women are so important. This is what leadership is all about. This is how we can help our wives grow into the likeness of Christ, how we can help our wives become what God wants them to be. We got to step up to the plate. Why is this so important? I'll give you two reasons. One, because her position before God. Notice it says, since she is a woman, show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. A fellow heir of the grace of life. What he's saying there is simply this. Your wives are not just your wife and not just someone that God's given to you to live with and so forth. She is valuable to God himself. Christ has purchased her with his own blood. She is not just your wife. She is a sister in Christ. You are fellow heirs of Christ. Spiritually, there is absolutely no difference. And Paul makes that very clear in Galatians. There's no difference between male and female, slave, free man, and so on. In Christ, we are one. And what he's saying here is that the real bedrock for a good marriage is the gospel. It is the gospel. And the gospel simply says, listen, we're all sinners. We have all got these flaws and spots and wrinkles and so forth. But Jesus came into this world. He fulfilled the law of God on our behalf. He offered himself up as a sacrifice for our sins so we could be forgiven. That's true of us. We are sinners forgiven by God's grace. And it's true of our wives too. And if we don't honor them, we're basically dishonoring those that God has redeemed for Himself. So it's extremely important there. But secondly, there's another reason it's important. The consequences of failure here are tremendous. And look what he says, that last line, so that your prayers will not be hindered. In other words, if you fail to be the man that God wants you to be, if you fail to be the spiritual leader that God has called you to be in the home, it is going to have a negative impact on your relationship with God. You can go to Bible studies and you can pray all you want, but what it's saying here is this, God's not going to hear you. You're just going to be bouncing prayers off the ceiling. You may think that things are great and so forth, but if your wife is languishing behind and suffering and struggling in your marriage and so forth, God says, something's not right. Now you may ask, why in the world would God say, hey, I'm not going to listen to your prayers if you're not being the husband you need to be? I think the answer is simple. The reality is this. God designed the marriage relationship, the husband-wife relationship, to reflect His relationship to the church. We as men are simply, we're being to our wives what Christ is to the church. And if we're not being those godly leaders, spiritual leaders in the home, it really is reflecting badly on Christ. People aren't going to look at us and say, wow, this is a picture of how Jesus loves this church, His people. He's casting Him in a bad light. If you're not doing what you need to be doing. Someone said this, you have heard it said, I'm sure, that nature abhors a vacuum. This is absolutely true when it comes to leadership. If you do not lead your family, someone else will. Someone else will have to. But God has called you to lead with great joy and delight, to lead though it may be costly, and to lead with love. Lead your wife, lead your family, and do it all for the glory of God. What kind of leaders are you in the home? Are we being the leaders that we need to be? There's always room for improvement. And I realize that so often men say, yeah, I need to do a better job. But I hope you see the seriousness of it. If you're not serious about it, then basically, again, it's going to impact your relationship with God. If you're a wife, it's not the woman that you thought she was, or she just hadn't turned out to be the woman you thought she would be, then love her as Christ loved the church. And she'll change. She'll change. She'll be transformed. And you'll help her to get to the place where she needs to be, where God wants her to be. That's the privilege we have as men, as husbands. Again, don't you see that spiritual leadership, it's not a matter of flexing our muscles and saying, yes, I get my way. It's saying, God, you want to work through me so that you have your way in my life and in the life of my wife. Let me just say a word, too, to the we have a few younger folks here. I would say this to young women, as you look ahead and perhaps one day looking forward to being married, having a husband, and so forth. Look for a man like we've talked about. I mentioned last week, superficial guys are a dime a dozen in our day. I believe that. Look for a man that the way he interacts with other women, does he treat them with respect? Does he honor you? Does he treat you with respect? Is he manipulative? Does it just seem like, hey, he's always trying to maneuver you and to get something? Look for someone to treat with respect and honor you and put you on a pedestal. And for young men, what I would say is commit yourself to being this type of man. As you grow older, as you have the opportunity to marry and perhaps God brings a wife to you, purpose now that you will be a spiritual leader, a man that is growing in your relationship with Jesus, but a man that is committed to being a tool in the hands of God to help your wife grow into the likeness of Christ. Husbands and wives, that's the rest of the story. And we can't do this in our own strength. And none of us, the wife, is not so inclined to submit to husbands, and husbands aren't so inclined naturally to love our wives as we've talked about today. But by God's grace, we can do that. And that's why I think it's important, even in Ephesians 5, right before it talks about the role of husband and wife, it says this in 5:18, and be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. It's being controlled by the Spirit of God, empowered by Him, that enables us to do the things that God calls us to do. So may we yield to the Spirit of God, and may He use us to build strong, healthy marriages for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this blueprint for marriage that You've given to us here. Lord, I know there's a lot of reaction to this from folks, and I know a lot of non-Christians in particular think it's outdated and useless and creates more harm than good. But Lord, as believers in Christ, we know that this is how things should be if in fact we're to have the marriages that are honoring and glorifying to You. I pray for men, I pray for myself, for all of us husbands here today. Lord, I pray that You would enable us by Your grace to love our wives and to lead them spiritually in this transforming pattern. Lord, I pray that our wives would grow in the likeness of Christ. I pray that we would lead our wives closer and closer to You. And Lord, through this whole process, husband-wife relationship, Lord, it would be a refining process for both of us that we would get to know You better and we would reflect Your glory to the world about us. I thank You, Father, for all that You're doing. And I pray, too, for those who are not married today. Lord, some may not ever marry, but certainly they will have opportunities to interact with married couples and perhaps share these truths with them. There may be, and I'm sure there are younger people here who will one day be married. Lord, I pray they would have high standards. They would have biblical standards. They would understand this is what a marriage is all about. It's found right here in Your Word. I pray they would be committed to You and committed to the blueprint that You've given to us. So thank You for what You're doing. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.